Well, thank you very much, Mr. Roberts, and happy Sabbath to everyone. I think this message might be rather short. Mr. Coleman kind of took a lot of my message here. You know, sometimes that happens. But it was interesting. We talked last night on the phone, but yet we didn't talk about what we were going to talk about. So anyway, repetition's a good teacher, though. So anyway, I just appreciate that message, and I think it does kind of tie hand in hand with some of the things I'm going to talk about today as well. You know, this is January 2nd, and many people this time of year that follow the Roman calendar that, you know, that we have to only because of economic reasons and business and things such as that. We know it's a calendar based on paganism, a lot of it. But, you know, this time of year when the year changes from 2015 to 2016 and on January 1st, people come up with these New Year's resolutions that they want to change something in their life. I was listening to someone on TV talking about getting fit. And, of course, there's a debate on whether or not you should diet or exercise or a combination of both. You know, there's they say that both can be helpful, sometimes one by itself over the other. But, you know, we do everything in balance. But you know, a lot of these people that join these clubs, whether it's a diet plan or a gym membership, this time of year it's off the charts. Everybody's got this resolution, and they want to get fit and fiddle. And I heard another fellow talking about by the time February or March comes around, it's like tumbleweed time in these facilities. People don't stick to it. So they have good intentions about getting themselves in shape and everything, and they kind of give up on it. And there's other people, you hear politicians talking about change. And so many of the changes that have come about in the recent years, I feel like just tell them to keep their change, you know, because it seems like it gets worse. But, you know, a lot of people also want to give up vices. Sometimes people know that maybe they drink too much alcohol, things such as that. Maybe they eat too much junk food. But, you know, change is hard in people. In fact, I also heard that there's this recent poll that was just conducted, and 1 out of 17 college students admit to regular pot usage, not occasional, but regular pot usage on a regular basis, 1 out of 17, just came out this week. So, and there's many other areas that we could change, that things that aren't good for us. So the title of this message is, We Can Change. But, you know, in so many cases, why don't people change? Why don't people change? Well, because it's easier not to, right? Anything that takes effort is a challenge for people. It takes effort. To overcome a bad habit, you must have a conscious thought about it and give the problem attention. So it does take a lot of effort and a lot of work to overcome, especially a bad habit. So that's one of the reasons why people just basically get lazy. They're happy. They're content with the way they are. Not everybody, but a lot of people, they just don't want to change. But, you know, thinking about it, our brain cells, a lot of psychological studies say this, our brain cells can be trained to have both positive and negative imprints. And then when you do some research on that. In other words, mind over matter is a layman's term that we can use, mind over matter. And I'd like to turn for our first scripture to Galatians 5 and verse 16. Many of you are quite familiar with this, Galatians 5, and we're going to start out in verse 16. Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, walk in God's Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if you follow God's ways, if you follow His nature, which is perfect, it's pretty hard to follow that, you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit. It's a conflict that goes on all the time. The Spirit against the flesh. So that you do not do the things that you wish. Verse 18, but if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And now the works of the flesh. There's actually 17 or 18 of these that many of us, most of society actually, it would be nice to change because they follow a lot of these things. They're weak under the works of the flesh. Let's go over those just real quick. First of all, adultery. I mean, how much of that goes on in the world today, in fornication? It's just the common occurrence. Uncleanliness, lewdness. You see this in the movies today. It's a shame. You go to a movie that you're excited about it, and then there's the bad language. Or there's the maybe a sexual scene that is inappropriate. And, you know, they have the ratings, but it seems like nowadays that the what is considered PG would have been like R, you know, when we were younger. That just so shows you how far society has went. But they portray this to be okay. No problem. You know, everybody's seen this movie. You know, why can't you, you know? Well, and then you go there and you're disappointed in some of them. Continuing here in verse 20, idolatry, sorcery. There's been a tremendous increase in witchcraft and in the following of Halloween in recent years. For a while, it actually went downhill a little bit. Some mainstream Christianity churches were actually not observing it and not really putting emphasis on it, but then you see it skyrocketing again in recent years. And they go right from Halloween right to Christmas and New Year's and skip right over Thanksgiving in many cases with all the ads and so on. Continuing here, jealousies. Outbursts of wrath. You see this in the political arena. Selfish ambitions, dissensions and heresies. Envy, murders. We're talking about all these shootings that have occurred. It's just constant. You hear something every day, even in our local area, somebody getting shot or killed. Drunkenness. I'm sure there was a lot of that. A lot of that.
New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve. Revelries and of the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Not maybe, or possibly will not inherit the kingdom of God. So you can see those are negative imprints that people, they start to follow those things in their mind. That's all they know. They go with it and they think there's no other way. But there's also positive imprints, and that's what the works of the fruits of the Spirit are. Let's look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. You know, how much love do we really have in the world? It's mostly lust. It's not really true love with outgoing concern for other people. How much joy do we really have? You know, they talk about having a joyous occasion at Christmas time. Many of those people go in the debt clear up to the ceiling, and you know, they end up having to pay off these gifts. The day after Christmas, what do you see? Everybody going back to the mall, returning the things that they didn't like or whatever. What kind of joy is that? You know, peace, long suffering is having patience. It's what we need to have in our lives. Kindness, goodness. You know, I talked about goodness a couple months ago, that we needed to have more goodness in our lives, more kindness and goodness, and to treat people that way. Faithfulness. And another problem that in verse 23 that you see very little of, and it just disgusts me so much when you watch a sporting event. I've really limited myself in recent years because it seems like you can waste so much time on that, is gentleness or meekness. There's so much arrogance out there. There's no humble natured with some of these athletes or these movie stars. You know, they're arrogant. They're stuck on themselves. No self-control. How often do you see them get into a fight? You know, I mean, it's constant. There's no self-control in some of these things, and it's put up with. So against there is no such law. So, you know, there's no law against us following the fruits of the Spirit, at least not yet. So you can see that, as it was mentioned here, we need to put aside fleshly desires. As it was also mentioned by Mr. Coleman, Deuteronomy 30:15, also in Luke 13:5, actually the scripture he referred to says about perishing if we don't follow God's ways. Luke 13:5 also says that, repent or change or perish. But you know, we do have some hope that will help motivate us. If you look at, go back to Galatians 5 and verse, Galatians 5, 5. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. So, through God's Spirit, through His mindset, we can wait for the hope that He promises us, you know, by of righteousness, you know, of overcoming, if we follow His ways, if we use His Holy Spirit to help us throughout life, that we can have hope that it's going to lead to righteousness. So we do have hope that if we do try to change, that there is a happy future because of that. Galatians 6 and verse 4, let's continue here. And we have to have faith in God's promises. Galatians 6, 4 through, and verse 5. But let each one examine his own work. Too often we try to look out for what's wrong with somebody else rather than ourselves. But we're admonished here to let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load or his own responsibility. You know, we need to look out for ourselves and not worry about other people. And, of course, that's a cop-out a lot of times because it takes the guilt off of us, right? Oh, look what they're doing. You know, that. You know, I'm not that bad, right? You know, yeah, see, they're doing this, they're doing that. And, you know, I'm not too bad. That's human nature, you know. So, but, you know, we're admonished to bear our own load, our own responsibility, to examine our own selves. You know, with no action, there's no production. So if we don't take action on change, we're not going to produce anything. We have to have an interest and a purpose in overcoming a problem. That's essential to do that. So that's the first step. You really have to have an interest in overcoming and in changing. Then take action on it, because if you don't, then nothing's going to be produced. No good works will be produced. For another scripture, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. Go back a few pages in the New Testament. As Mr. Coleman was turning to these various scriptures, I kept almost cringing, like, oh, there goes mine, or there's one close to it, but we dodged it a few times here. But like I said, the repetition's a good teacher, even if he did. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. So we need to understand the truth. But verse 10, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So, and this, the Spirit helps us to keep from being led astray if we have God's Spirit and we try to focus on God's nature and everything that we do. You know, God expects us to respond to our calling with interest and zeal, because it is quite a calling. It's a miracle. It's really a miracle to be called into God's truth. And we need to have that interest and that zeal if we're going to have a chance to overcome. So how interested are we in doing what God says? It comes down to our priorities, really, when you think about it. It comes down to our priorities. And really, we need to try to put prayer and Bible study right at the top of the list, because without that, we're going to take off in different directions. We're not going to be close to God. We're going to start to slip and falter. And before you know it, you're going to create more bad habits, possibly vices that you ever could dream of when you lose contact with God. Another scripture to turn to, which is really good advice for all of us as individuals and the church, is Colossians 3. Colossians 3 and verse 1. Start out with Colossians 3 and verse 1. We've been staying in the New Testament a good bit here today. Colossians 3 and verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. So we've got to think about godly things. We need to think about His plan, not all the entertainment and all the distractions in the world. Let's jump down to verse 8. But now you yourselves are to put off all these. Put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another. You know, Think about it. How much filthy language is used in today's society? It's commonplace to go to a movie to see, and you hear the filthy language. It's just incredible what they allow. Do not lie to one another. It's almost commonplace now for politicians to be accepted that they lie. It's, well, that's okay, they lied, but, you know, it's incredible how lying has been put on the back burner as not a sin. Verse 10, and we need to put on the new man, the new person who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So that's our calling, to put on a new person, to get rid of these bad habits, to change, to overcome, so that we can be used by God and Jesus Christ in the future. But like I said, it does come down to priorities. This is good advice for us as individuals and a church. Let's continue in verse 12 of Colossians 3. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, there's humility, something we don't see too much of in today's society, meekness, long-suffering, patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. That's another thing that we probably need to work on. I know I do, and is the fact that, you know, if you're done wrong, to pray about it and to ask God to help you to forgive those who do wrong to you. I mean, look what Christ did. You know, he's being killed on the cross, and he asked God to forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. So, you know, we need to learn forgiveness. That's something we could all improve on, because we're humans, we hold grudges. But verse 14, put above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And like I said, love is an outgoing concern for people, that you're truly concerned about them, their needs. You try to help them in whatever way you can. Verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and to be in one church, that's us, and be thankful for that. You know, this is a great opportunity to be here, the church family. I think we have around 33 people here today, and there's still about a half dozen or so that couldn't make it. So it's nice to see everybody here today at church. And, you know, our church family, we were talking about this earlier. I mean, what else do you have? The world's going to abandon you, going to stab you in the back. You know, yeah, we do have our biological families, of which some aren't in the church, and we're fairly close to them. But there's nothing like that bond of a church family, because we're thinking on the same page as far as God's plan. And that's what's so great, that we have that to help bond us together. Verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to one also you will be called, and like I said, in one body, the church, and be thankful. And finally, in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So the hymns that we sing are good teaching, good admonishment to us. Sometimes we take those for granted. We just sing along, you know. But think about the words that's in all the psalms and also the hymns that we sing. And it's an admonishment for us to try to follow God's ways. And we were able to sing that in Him. So, in 2 Corinthians 13:5, we won't turn there, but it says, examine ourselves. Don't examine others. Examine ourselves. In Hebrews 2 and verse 1, God says, give heed to things we have heard. Don't make excuses for not changing. We have to take heed, as it says in Hebrews 2 and verse 1. So don't make excuses. You know, there's been a lot of people in the past in the church, and also people that are not in the church, famous people you've probably heard of. You hear these stories about how they've overcome things, how they've made changes in their life. But it always took an effort. You know, they had to come to the point where they said, you know something, I'm tired of this. I want to change. I want to become better. Just a couple examples, and I think I've used these people in the past several years as maybe as an introduction. One of the presidents I always was quite fond of and admired and had a fair amount of respect for was Theodore Roosevelt. As a kid, Teddy Roosevelt was very sickly. He had asthma, all kind of health issues. And he took it upon himself to build himself up, to exercise, to get in shape, and to become an outdoorsman. I mean, he lived in New York City. How much outdoors are you going to have there, even in the 1800s, you know? And he went out west after the double tragedy of losing his wife and his mother, all within 24 hours of each other. But he didn't give up. Most people would have given up. They'd become like a vegetable, you know. They'd become inward and given up on a double tragedy like that. But he didn't. He made himself stronger by building himself up, but getting out of the situation he was in, getting into vigorous activity. Of course, you know, he's one of the four presidents on Mount Rushmore and did a lot for people during his time in the presidency. Another person, a little more contemporary of us, I believe she's in her 70s now, is the lady, she had autism, Temple Grandin. She is the spokesperson for autism today. And she started out with, you know, severe autism. She had all kind of trials. They wanted to kick her out of school. She stayed with it. She was determined that she was going to try to overcome and change herself. So sometimes they almost have to learn to rewire themselves whenever they have autism. And some people have the strength, the fortitude to do that, and she did. And now she goes around speaking to thousands of individuals around the world. She's the spokesperson for autism. So this is just a couple examples of how people can actually, if they really want to bad enough, they can change. And we can do the same thing. But we have to want to. We have to show the effort. So we just can't snap your fingers and it happens. We have to reach down deep and say, you know something? I need to change on this. Even if we have to make a list, a little personal list. Okay, I'm going to work on especially this one right now because you don't want to overwhelm yourself. And I know we have all, you know, we all have more than maybe one thing we need to change on, right? But, you know, take one. Jeff shaking his head. I mean, most of us, Jeff, okay? But in jest. But, you know, you have to maybe make a list and say, you know, I'm going to really hammer on that one until I overcome that. Okay, then I'm going to move to the next one. So don't be overwhelmed by it. Just, you know, pick one and to, you know, try to work on it. But we can't do it on our own. We cannot do it on our own, especially if it comes to spiritual sins. Let's take a look at Psalm 139 for another scripture. Psalm 139 is our first scripture in the Old Testament today. Psalm 139, and we're going to look at verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. You know, we have anxieties, don't we, about some of the issues that we have in our life, about some of the problems, some of our sins. It does cause anxiety because it's frustration. So we're going to try me and know my anxieties in verse 24 and see if there is any wicked way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting. So sometimes we don't even see what we have in us. You know, we need to have God point out, you know, and all of a sudden, boy, I didn't realize I was doing that. So pray about it and ask him if there's something that we need to do that we're not seeing. Other people may, but they're polite. They haven't said anything to us. But, you know, that we need to work on. And, you know, a self-evaluation. We need to have a periodic self-evaluation. And it's something that we need to do whenever we need to work on overcoming something. We need to stay focused on the overcoming and the problems that are at hand. Just like I mentioned in the introduction, people, they're all excited this time of year. Yeah, I'm going to go get in shape, and I'm going to exercise. I'm going to quit eating junk food, and, you know, I'm going to trim down and become a lean, mean fighting machine. And before you know it, February or March, the gym's half empty. So, you know, we've got to stay with it. We've got to stay focused on it. We've got to, on the problems at hand. Don't get distracted by other things. Stay focused on that problem. And if you do that, you have a very good chance of trying of overcoming it. A couple points that we need to follow when we set our minds to changing or overcoming a problem. The first one is always regard God's instruction. Always regard God's instruction. And what I mean by this is you'll see these different things like Mr. Coleman advertised. You've got this. If you take this pill, it'll make you a new person. If you follow this advice, if you go to this seminar, if you go to this workshop, if you go to this psychiatrist, you know, all your problems are going to be solved. Well, that's not the case. If we don't involve God in our overcoming and our opportunities to change, it's not going to go too far. So always regard God's instruction, what he tells us in the Bible. And it mentions 2 Timothy 3:16, to heed God's instruction concerning these issues. So, you know, we need to read our Bible, study his word, what it says about overcoming, and not worry about worldly theories. In Matthew 6:33, we're admonished to seek God's kingdom and his righteousness. Seek God's kingdom and his righteousness. Don't worry about the physical things, because God will give us everything else we need. If we start worrying too much about the physical things, we're going to get distracted from trying to overcome a bad habit or a problem. You know, just put that in God's hands. Like he said, seek his kingdom first and his righteousness, and he will make sure that we have our needs. And that way we can focus more on overcoming our problems. The second thing after always regarding God's instruction is to prioritize our prayer time. Prioritize our prayer time. You know, to master your time is to master your life. To master your time is to master your life. You know, after work and sleep, how many hours a day do you have left? And you think about it, some people work 10 or 12 hour shifts. You might work sleep 6 to 8 hours. You've got to take time to eat. You know, we haven't gotten to that point yet where we can go without eating, right? Hopefully someday, spirit beings, we can choose whether or not we want to eat or not. But, you know, we haven't got to that point. So how much time is really left when you add up work time and sleep time? Then you've got family time. You've got meals. You've got family activities. Young people today have very busy lives, and Sue and I are starting to find out the grandparenthood is quite busy too, because we've got grandkids now, and we got a couple kids in Columbus. So, you know, we stay hopping back and forth, seeing kids and grandkids and going to activities. But, you know, that does limit us to our spare time. And when you think about it, great people are spare time users. Here's another little coin phrase. Great people are spare time users. Small people are spare time losers. So great people are spare time users. Small people are spare time losers. So we want to not be the small person where we lose our spare time. And that is very true. So pick a time what's best for you. I know some fellows that get up to work, get up to 5 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. It's maybe difficult to get too much prayer time in then. It's always best to try to get it in the morning, because you know you have it in. Of course, David's prayed at least 3 times a day when you're at work. If you have time, eating lunch or just driving to work, you know, pray and talk to God. So, and just make it a daily routine that you will try to pray at least 3 times a day, morning, around the middle of the day, and then in the evening as well, or any time which works for you, because we don't have the typical agrarian society where everybody got up, they worked in the fields, they came home, you had dinner, you had the rest of the evening off. We have swing shift. I know some of you ladies that's in medical, and other people that's in service-oriented jobs. Your schedule's crazy, working in stores and things such as that. But still try to prioritize prayer time and study time as well. So if you do that, then you will grow, and you will also be working, have more time to work on that particular problem that you're studying about, you're praying about. In Matthew 7, you don't have to turn there, Matthew 7 and verse 7 and 8, we need to ask God in prayer to help you change and overcome. And in that scripture, he promises that he will. If we ask him for his help in overcoming and changing, that he will. He will help us. You know, God is very patient and merciful with us. You know, some of us have been in church, you know, 30, 40, 50 years. My parents came into the church when I was 6 years old back in 1957. And, you know, as a kid, you kind of go along for the ride for a while until you become a teenager and you realize, you know, that this is the way you need to follow. And then you come upon baptism age and you realize you've really got a commitment now. But, you know, it's funny. I think some of us, maybe not all, but we think that when we're baptized, we make that commitment, our sins are washed away, we have the laying on the hands, and we're given God's Holy Spirit to help us, to kickstart us, to get us going so we can start to overcome and become more like Jesus Christ, that I think we take it for granted that it's almost like, you know, we're not hardly ever going to sin anymore. Because you're baptized, you made that commitment, and you have the laying on of the hands. Well, that's not true. I mean, we will sin. And, you know, sometimes we will sin daily. But, you know, we can't give up just because we do that. And that's why we're so thankful that God is merciful. Even after baptism, after that commitment, we make a mistake. We ask God for forgiveness. And, of course, through Christ's sacrifice, we are forgiven of our sins. And when we repent, and we can move on with a clean slate every day. And that's what's so great about that. So be thankful that God is patient and merciful with us. He's waiting for us to change. He's waiting for us to try to overcome some more things. Because if he calls us and we do not overcome anything, how can he use us in his millennium to help teach others? So he doesn't want any Lucifers, okay, in his kingdom. He wants people that are really struggling and trying to overcome, to try to make changes in their life, so that he can use us, you know, to help others in the millennium, that we're going to be his faithful servants. So I'm so thankful that God is merciful to us. And, you know, someday we will stand before God and give account, like the scripture that in Romans 14:12 that Mr. Coleman mentioned. We will stand and we'll have to give account. And are we going to have to explain why we did not change? Or will we hear from him, from God, referring to Matthew 25:21? Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things, but you're going to rule over many. So obviously we're not going to overcome every little thing, but if we're faithful over a few things, we're going to rule over many. And that's quite a promise to follow, so just remember that as we go along the path of overcoming and changing. Just remember to always regard God's instruction over top of any of the worldly counseling that you would get. Prioritize time for prayer and study, because our time is so limited. And always have a periodic self-evaluation, as we mentioned earlier in the message. To self-evaluate, of course, what better time now in the winter months? It gets dark early. You're not going to be outside mowing grass. You know, you're not going to be working in the garden. You have more time to read, so, and to study God's ways. So let's do that. Let's pick a habit we want to overcome and work on that, and then go on to the next one, because it is possible to change. You know, we just have to work at it. So just remember, we can change.